talking about CJ, because I mean, a lot of people been critiquing him on, like, open field. I mean, like, obviously he's a dog. I feel like he's a baller. He's coming downhill. He stopped the dude last week on, like, fourth and two. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was a few tackles he's missing and like, in coverage and stuff that people kind of, like, being a little hard. I'm talking about he's talking too much and he ain't really showing up as much. What you feel about that?
Bull crap. We need CJ.
Yeah.
Yo, when he left, I was so mad. Right. And then when he came back, I was so happy just because he is what a Philadelphia Eagle player is on defense. He's that. We haven't had nobody like him since Brian Dawkins with that dog and that attitude. He is the heartbeat of the defense, dog.
The voice there, voices of LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson, the 25-10 show, their podcast, talking about, you know, giving him some praise to CJ GJ. And look, I'm happy that they're happy he's here and I wanted him back, and he's a good player. But can we not forget Malcolm Jenkins existed?
Yeah.
Malcolm
was a dog.
Malcolm was a tremendous Eagle.
I like CJ GJ. I want to say that first. But I think in comparison to either one of those guys, not the same. Not the same. And I'm not trying to slight him because there's nobody like Brian Dawkins. Like, that's a fact. You're talking about just his skill set and the mentality. Nah. And Malcolm was the closest thing to Dawk, and he wasn't that close, like, with all due respect. So it's, nah.
The way I would say it is Dawk was great. Malcolm was very, at times, very good.
Very damn good.
And CJ is good. I mean, and that's fine. I mean, like, I like a good safety. He's a good safety. He's a playmaker. I need him to be a little bit better in coverage because CJ's been getting cooked in coverage, but he helped stop the run. He had the big fourth down stop against the Falcons. Like, I'm happy CJ's here. But come on, guys. Let's just take a deep breath on. We just forgot Malcolm existed. Malcolm helped them win the Super Bowl. Come on, guys. 215-592-9494. By the way, Kyle Schwarber going to join the afternoon show at 2:30 today. So stay tuned. It's a big Eagles Day, Football Friday, also a Phillies weekend as they try to finish this season strong. And we'll see if they're the one seed or the two seed when we get back in here Monday and look forward to the division around the division series next week. Next Saturday would be game one there. Let's go to Dustin Northeast. What's up, Dustin?
Joey G, Hog, how are you, fellas?
What's going
Dustin,
on, man?
What's up, pal?
Nah, it's been a little while, man. Still listening every day. You guys got great programs.
We appreciate you. What are you thinking today?
Yeah, I think we're in trouble, man. And I think it comes down to a point that nobody's making. I don't think Jalen Hurts is that guy. I really think that we have a problem at quarterback. I do. He doesn't know how to read a defense. He can't throw the long ball. He can't throw over the middle. He makes stupid decisions. He doesn't know how to get down. He has stupid-ass turnovers. It's just, I just think that we have a problem that no, and unfortunately, we just paid the guy, so we're stuck with him. And it's like, all I keep picturing is Carson Wentz just keeps going over and over and over in my head. And then not to mention, you got a coach that doesn't know his you-know-what from a hole in the wall. This guy is a moron, dude. Like, I get it you want to have the big balls like Doug did in a Super Bowl and going for it on fourth and one. I need points, dude. When you're struggling and you're not putting points on the board against the team who arguably, at this time last week, everybody thought that New Orleans had the best offense in the league. And you're not going to take the points against them. It's just, I think we're in a bigger concern. And not to mention, nobody wants to talk about this. Yo, Hog, how many times did the Stu Nod run the ball with Saquon Barkley in the first quarter?
No, he didn't. He didn't do it a whole lot.
So, Stu Nod's a good one. You and I share some concerns about Sirianni. I think you're being a little hard on Jalen. He needs to clean up the turnovers, but I do not think it's a bad situation. I just want it to be a great one, and I feel like he's just playing, you know, middle of the road quarterback. I don't feel as negative about it as you do.
Now, well, let me put this point out to you. We have the leading rusher in the league this year so far. I know it's only three games, but right now the dude is popping off 8 yards a carry or 7 yards a carry. Why did you not give him the ball one freaking time in the first quarter? You're trying to develop a game plan and trying to get the momentum in our favor, and you're short your superstar wide receiver, and you have an unbelievable tailback who's doing things back there that he hasn't done in 3 years, and you don't give him the ball in the first quarter? That's been bothering me, fellas, like you wouldn't believe.
You're not the only one. Dustin, we appreciate the phone call. Dustin came in hot today. He's got Sirianni's just too nod. Jalen can't read a defense, so he wants the running back to get the ball. Eight yards a carry. I don't know if that's exactly the number, but he's obviously had a nice
start. It was kind of high.
Yeah, nice start to the season for Saquon. I know that we want to fix things. We want things to be better. I have felt the last couple weeks, they are 2-1. Like, there's a point we should point out what's not good so it gets fixed, right? So we don't do what we did last year. But, like, that's a phone call you don't usually hear for a 2-1 football team. They've won two out of the three games.
But I think that a lot of things that have happened over the last couple of weeks have got some people concerned. The fact that we still really haven't found our pass rush is something that has triggered a lot of folks.
Of course.
The turnovers is a big deal.
Yeah.
The turnovers is a big deal. And the way that we're playing offense is a big deal for some. We're 2-1, and I think a lot of the reasons why we feel the way that we feel, Joe, is because whether we want to admit it or not, we saw how this thing collapsed down the stretch
last year. Yeah.
And it didn't feel good.
No, I think a lot of us have learned our lesson that it's not just the record is only a part of it. The record obviously matters a lot. I mean, the Bill Parcells quote, you are what your record is, but that doesn't mean you're going to continue to be that. It doesn't mean it's sustainable. You got to stop turning the ball over. You got to get to the quarterback. Anthony is in Irvington. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, you guys? How you doing?
Hey, what's Anthony. What's up, pal?
Hey, you Douglas, man. How many sacks you got now?
You're talking about as far as in my career or on this show?
Well, he loses the sack.
No, we took a lot away.
They took a lot, dog. They took a lot.
Yeah, we're waiting for the Eagles to take away the Hall of Fame spot next at this point.
Man, you Douglas, man, I got to agree with that last caller. Rico, when did you become so soft, man?
How am I being soft? Because I'm being logical. Like, no,
when he picked up that plant-based butter, Anthony. That changed everything.
We gave Huff $50-something million. You might as well gave me that money. We got the same stats.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Anthony?
Where you put him?
I feel.
Left side, right side.
But see, Anthony, that's not right.
Fangio should be more whatever with him. That's a grown-ass man, dog.
Anthony.
The same way how you say Nick Castellanos is a grown-ass man, Bryce Huff is a grown-ass man.
That's a heck of a point. That's a heck of a point, Anthony.
Joe, don't enable Anthony. Anthony.
He got an opportunity to rush the passer when he's on the field. Ain't no moving to the left, to the right. Do that. That's a grown-ass man.
No, Anthony, it's not. First of all,
I'm Anthony's hype man now, by the way.
I know you are. I see it. Anthony, first of all, when we got Bryce Huff, it was stated that he's never been an every-down player, correct?
So correct. Why the hell
Wait a minute, Anthony. I'm asking a simple question. All I ask is, Alan, these are yes or no. It was this stated when we got him that he wasn't an every-down player.
Correct. You're right.
And so, whose job is it to get him prepared for something that he's never been prepared for?
Bryce Huff.
Oh my God! Okay. You know what? I'm working with Joe Giglio. I'm working with Joe on the phone. What?
Hey, with all disrespect, Bryce Huff is trash.
No, he's not. He is not trash.
He's trash, man.
Anthony, he is not trash.
With that same money we gave him, why didn't we get a Huff? Well, Huff wanted a little more, or?
Reddick. Yeah, I got you. No, because they didn't want to pay Reddick.
So here's an idea. We swap him back. Huff to the Jets, Reddick here. Swap him back.
Swap him back. Why the hell we didn't give Reddick the $50 million?
Because they didn't feel like he deserved it.
We should have gave Reddick $60 million.
Darn right. Anthony gets it.
Anthony does not get it.
Anthony.
I'm working. Anthony's on the phone and I'm working with Anthony right now. That y'all don't get it. It's not like that. It's on the coach's job. The coach's job is to put him in position to be successful. Just like last week, he put Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis in position to be successful because he slid somebody to the front and he made it a five-man front. And that's what helped them be successful. Coach Fangio right now, as of the last week, he did what was easy. He took the easy way out. He moved slot. He slid five guys on the line and he played Brandon Graham. And he set Bryce Huff down. And every time we ask him in the press conference, what's going on? Well, he hasn't picked it up yet. Okay, well, whose job is it to help me pick it up? That's your job. Like I said, I since we want to talk about money, when I was drafted, I got my check or whatever, but my coach took it upon himself to sit down with me after every practice and help me understand the concepts of what I was going against at the defensive end position. Because at that point, when I came from college, I played in the I played like a linebacker.
So it's the opposite of Huff. He played as an end. Now, now they have him as a stand-up linebacker.
I played as a linebacker. And so my hand wasn't in the dirt. And the knock on me was, well, we don't know how he's going to play in the dirt because it's a different animal. It is. I'm trying to tell you, playing right end and left end, those two different beasts that you're battling every day. And you're sticking him out there, and you're asking him to play every down, trying to recognize different run fits and everything like that, and then you're asking him to pass rush. Okay, simplify the game for him. Move him around. Tell him, okay, well, hey, we're not going to put you out there in rundowns. We'll just let you pass rush. He's not even letting him do that.
It's funny you said that. I dug up your old scouting report once. It said everything about that, and also said one day he would go plant based. I don't know how they knew. I don't know how they knew all those years ago, but they said he would. All right, 215.
They don't know who he is.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. All right, so coming up around 1:30, we'll guess the takes, what everyone's talking about on Monday after an NFL Week 4. And we'll end with a same-game parlay for this weekend's NFL games for you. But first, we got to play something because not most people didn't hear this today. I mean, you might have, like, what just happened there? Was a little pause? So,
I honestly could not stop laughing.
Earlier in the show, we opened up an interesting debate about should the Eagles bring back Hassan Reddick and we just trade Huff for him because, you know, little birdie told Rich Cimini, the Jets reporter in New York, that Reddick would like to come back to the Eagles. So it got heated in here. Huff wants to hold on to Reddick. Hugh was being challenged by callers, and, well, it sounded like this.
For the league like this.
What you mean he wasn't ever been? He's been in the league for 4 years. What are you talking about? He's been in the league. He's been in the NFL for 4 years.
If he's in a limited role,
then how about you help him out? Why? Okay, well, ask me this, Bobby. Why has Hassan Reddick been on four other freaking football teams? Why has he been on four other teams?
I don't even know if it was four teams. It was just got caught up
Reddick,
in the moment.
Yeah. Reddick was Cardinals, Panthers,
I think this is
Eagles, Jets. Yeah, he
I was right. Okay, yeah.
Plus, it just flowed out with the other
and
reporter.
Again,
yeah.
Bobby, I wasn't mad at you. This is Joe Giglio's fault.
Why?
No.
Hold on.
Let me tell you. Yeah. No. This is Joe Giglio's fault.
I did nothing.
Because, Bobby, it was nothing that you did.
Oh, actually, this is my fault. Sorry.
Because Joe, we're talking in the break, right? And Joe brought something to my attention that I when I thought about it, I started getting passionate because he was like, well, he said, this is what he said. Well, you know, Vic's kind of taking the easy way out. And I said, you know what? And when he said it, the wheels in my head started turning. And I started thinking about back when I played and when I was young and how, you know, like how coaches would manipulate the situation. Because, like, I thought about when we drafted James Ferrier when I played for the Jets. And he was the linebacker. And Coach Parcells was trying to get him on the field. And right before the season started, dog, I had been playing. I was coming off a defensive rookie of the year, had like 10 sacks that year or whatever. And right before the season started, he switched our defense from a 4-3 to a 3-4.
To get Ferrier
on the field. And I was hot. And it was something that I didn't see coming because, like, we had practice. You talk about Devin White. When he was practicing all year long, all preseason, all training camp long, and then all of a sudden he's a no-show. It triggered me a little bit. And when Bobby started talking, it triggered me. And when Bobby was talking about it, again, Bobby, it wasn't about you. It was about me thinking about that moment, and I just got hot. Why has Hassan Reddick been on four other freaking football teams? And it just ran me hot, man, because I'm like, coaches do stuff like that to justify whatever agenda they have. And I'm not saying that Vic Fangio is doing that, but it felt in that moment that it was eerily similar.
So, like, I think my favorite part of it is that, like, you're obviously, like, at the peak when the F-bomb was dropped, and then, like, you can hear it go. You're like, because you realize in your head what just happened.
It's like you tried to walk it back.
Yeah, no, because I tell y'all every day, I'm always in stream of conscience. Like, seriously, and that's why me and Coach Sirianni, I relate so much. Because in that moment, like, I never want to project like I'm angry because me, well, or, well, it's projected as me being angry, but it's passion. And a lot of times when you project that passion as a guy of my stature, it's misunderstood as anger.
The passion, man, like it.
It's good.
I'm that way.
No, but it's
Seltzer's
different.
That way.
But it's different when I do it. It's like when I do it, you know, it tends to make folks uncomfortable.
That was something that was fired up.
Yeah. It tends, like, and so I have to be aware of that. So it's like I try not to. That's why when I watch games, man, I try not to be passionate because people are like, what the hell's wrong with this dude? You know what I mean? It's there, and it tends to make people a little nervous sometimes. So I try not to do that.
Well, I think
so.
This one was all right. It was
one of the most fired up I've ever heard.
It just tends to make people nervous, and I'm more aware of it now. Because, like, it's a whole lot of rabbit hole, but it's like I try to be more aware.
Plus,
of it. Why has Hassan Reddick been on four other freaking football teams?
Plus, it's unintentional, hilarious radio
so
later in the show. Like, remember when Seltzer cursed and we got to play it over and
yeah,
over?
Yeah.
You guys want to hear that one?
Yeah, I'd love to hear Seltzer cursing.
Best tweet of the night.
Right? Say it, James.
Elliot said Josh Harris should buy up all the freaking tickets and give them to Sixers fans. Like, you're damn right he should. The freaking, what, $7 billion this guy's worth? Yeah, dude, like, own your... Oh, my goodness. Own your franchise, okay?
Yeah. It's the timid, like, afterwards where he's like, own your franchise. Like, he can't even muster up any more passion.
Well, because the natural reflex, oh, no, I should have done that. Like, I'm like, it's almost like the mental walking it back. But you can't. It's
that
out
one,
there.
And that one you could hear brewing. Honestly, I should have expected Hughes more because the lead up to it, like, you could tell, you could almost, like, feel it coming.
For the league like this.
What you mean he wasn't ever been? He's been in the league for 4 years? What are you talking about? He's been in the league. He's been in the NFL for 4 years.
In a limited role.
Okay, if he's in a limited role, then how about you help him out? Why? Okay, well, ask me this, Bobby. Why has Hassan Reddick been on four other freaking football teams? Why has he been on four other teams?
It does sound funny.
It's so funny. You know what? The more we hear it, it's not about Bobby. You are talking to Fangio.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, why don't you help him out? And Bobby can help him out. Fangio can.
And Bobby, again, because Bobby hit me up on the Instagram, and he Bobby, you didn't have to apologize.
No, Bobby, listen, thank you. I mean, that was good.
That was a great call by Bobby. Call again.
No, awesome. At the end of the day, I am a fan, just like everybody else. And when I give you the takes that I have, I have to sometimes put my fandom to the side and be a little logical. And that might not align with everybody else, and that's fine. But when I'm telling you, that's Joe's fault, because when I thought about it, I'm like, you got to help. Yeah, it's Joe. I'm blaming Joe. Because when he said it, and Joe, you know, Joe just said it casually. We're just sitting there talking, and he said, oh, yeah, well, you know, Fangio took the easy way out. And I was just like, you know what, Joe? And I was thinking to myself, you know what? He did it. So it started festering.
He's like the dude in the corner of the boxing ring. Like, you hear what he was saying about you?
Yeah,
you gonna let him do that?
Yeah,
you
and it was
let
festering.
Him get away
and
with
then
that.
Bobby called with his passion, and I was just like, you know what, Bobby? No. So yeah, Bobby,
that was great. I appreciate you being a good sport. Let me play this again. That is hilarious.
I mean, you can't work in radio and be sensitive, can you?
No.
Or be insecure.
Yeah, you're good. And hopefully that HR email doesn't hit, but you're good. Josh in Wilmington. What's up, Josh?
I mean, guys, today is absolute solid gold radio, man. Unbelievable. I mean, I love it. You guys are serving up turd burgers. You know, the only thing missing is Hugh firing up a smelter and melting up some of his old pubed soap that he's got laying around.
Seriously? Seriously?
So hold on. Hold on. Joe, I got a question.
Okay.
Is it a football Friday?
It is a football Friday, yes, 100%.
Okay. So you woke up this morning, and here we go. Oh, I'm nervous. It's raining. Do we have enough milk? Do we have enough eggs? Yeah, you run Saquon Barkley. You run him all day long this weekend. You want to know why? We're going into a bye, and Hugh took the Thunder earlier, and it was a point that I was going to make, is that the weather's going to be a factor too. So it actually kind of is going to work out. This dude wants to rock. All he wants to do is run. Well, you know what? The Tampa Bay Bucs should get a healthy dose of him this weekend, for sure.
30 Definitely. Carries, and, 30 touches?
I mean, as many as he's got to get. Yeah. Heck yeah. As many as it takes, Joe.
All right.
As many as
I have to be the voice of reason on this one. Let's just be careful. We don't want to run him into the ground before it's September, Josh. Don't you think about this?
Let me ask you another question. Okay. When you buy a car, right?
Yes.
Do you drive it at 4 to 5 miles less than the speed limit every single time you get in it?
No.
No. You drive the car. Well, guess what? Saquon's the car. And I'm going to tell you, they better drive him this weekend because we're going to need it. And I'm going to tell you that we can exploit the middle of that defense. And hopefully, it'll open up what we saw last week with Dallas Goedert. You know, get him out towards the hash. Get him moving so that Jalen doesn't have to really go down the field. He could throw that little touch ball to Dallas. Right? I mean, there's so much more to keeping the ball on the ground. And look, I agree with Rico earlier. Look, we didn't give him the ball for the whole first quarter. I mean, come on. What are we doing? And this whole Hassan Reddick crap, I weighed in on it before. I mean, yeah, it would be nice to have him back. I don't want him back. I'm in the camp Hugh Douglas on this one, too. Listen, coach him up. Coach him up. You know, and I'll tell you, I think he's got to be I don't want to call it close, but you could tell he's out there making an effort.
Well, I would hope we're getting an effort. I mean, the guy's getting $17 million a year.
Ah, yeah, 17, 50, whatever, right? Coach him up. You know, I said to you guys before, Vic Fangio, like, what modern day or modern era athlete, dude, like, you know, it's a bit different. It's not like kick the water cooler over and you know, start spitting on everyone as you're trying to make a point. You know, we've all had those coaches, but it doesn't work that way anymore.
No, it's different. Really. No, it is different. And listen, I'm not against the idea of Vic, us holding him more accountable. Josh, we appreciate the call. But you know what? You know what's not bad sometimes? The easy way out. Trade Huff for Reddick. Take the easy way out. Go get the quarterback.
Well,
upstream here.
Yeah, when you're dealing with a situation where there's money involved, I mean, that is somewhat of a problem. Brandon's played well. I get that. And, you know, you have to put him in position to be successful, though. You got to put him in position to be successful.
Sure you do. And I hope he does that. But at some point, I need Howie Roseman to call Joe Douglas and just see what he says. Just put that feeler out.
Be like, hey, Joe, what you doing? How you feeling?
Yeah, what do you think? You got a problem? I got a problem. We just swap these problems. We move on. Everybody's happy?
Everybody happy. Move. Keep it moving.
Except Hugh, who's cursing on the air.
Right. Why has Hassan Reddick been on four other freaking football teams?
Oh, it's so good. All right, let's get the takes here for week number 4 in the NFL.
It's time to guess the takes.
Yes. All right, let's just set a little rule here. We can't give the take Monday that we guessed today because that's ruining the spirit of this.
No rule against that.
Oh, you're okay.
I'm overruling.
All right, so the spirit of guess the takes is we try to guess what everyone is saying, talking about, what's the big conversation out there. So I guess a good one last week would have been Josh Allen's the MVP, right? Or Jaden Daniels is the best rookie quarterback. You know, trying to guess, get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll start us off here. I think the take on Monday is maybe Brock Purdy wasn't actually a product of the players around him. Brock Purdy's playing well with a lot of injuries around him. He leads the NFL in passing yards per game. He has 109.2 pass rating. It's similar to what it was last year, the year before. Mm. Maybe Brock Purdy's just really good on his own. Now, he might get Kittle back, might have Debo, but obviously no Christian McCaffrey. And their defense stinks right now, including losing Javon Hargrave for the season. I think Purdy lights up the Patriots.
Oh.
And we start saying, maybe Purdy didn't. It's not because he has all this talent around him. He's just good.
Oh, that's a pretty good one. Am I going next?
Yeah, Kyle's
going
to be against that one. He's not saying it. Go, you go next.
I'm going next. Coach Pierce last week, he got in the press conference and he was talking about guys making business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he was going to, you know, the team was going to make business decisions as well. So mine is, Devontae Adams is going to be on the trade block come next
week.
That would be a huge one.
Well, that'd be and the teams would line up for him like a team like the
Jets. Wouldn't be hard to get rid of it. Like people definitely would want him.
That's a fun one, Kyle. What do you got? Guess the takes.
All right, you know that guy that the Minnesota Vikings drafted, that quarterback J.J. McCarthy.
Sure,
trade him. Don't need him. Sam Darnold is the guy.
Is the guy. He's the future.
If he plays well again and they win, it's going to be hard to move on
when they get to the offseason. They have a dude that was, I mean, let's be real about Sam Darnold. He was a number 3 overall pick. He has the talent, theoretically, to be a good quarterback in the NFL. Keeps playing like this, the Vikings could probably use J.J. McCarthy as a little bit of a trade chip.
Do you know what? This happened once before, except the team kept the drafted guy and let the other guy go.
Wasn't this Russell Wilson? Because then they didn't Matt trade Flynn. For him. Then Matt Flynn was the quarterback they gave a ton of money to. And then Russell came out and was the better player.
That was an example of one where they just switched up the decision. Yeah. Another one to where the draft pick had to wait, but eventually took the job when the Chargers drafted Phillip Rivers. Drew Brees played really well.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And he had a sit, but then they eventually let Drew Brees walk away, and look what happened with Drew Brees.
So they could trade JJ to a team like the Panthers?
Sure.
You never know what's... situation's going to be with the Chargers.
I'm sure there's a bunch of teams would take
him back to Harbaugh.
Quarterback on a rookie contract. Mm-hmm. Mm. And he's a free agent. I think it's a one-year deal for Darnold. So they have to make a big decision to not just keep him, but pay him
Darnold,
as well.
Trade JJ.
Well, if they go 4-0 this weekend and win in Green Bay, it's hard to go against. He's their quarterback for the future, at least for the foreseeable future. Are we got an injury update on Micah Parsons after last night?
Yeah, so Micah Parsons just came out. This is from Ian Rappaport. Mm. Did, in fact, suffer a high ankle sprain. So they don't have an exact timetable for him.
But that's a serious
injury. Usually a few weeks.
Yeah, it ain't no joke.
Now, the thing about their schedule is they have two games and then a bye week. So it's really a question of whether he'll be back for the Niners game that they have October 27th.
Well, that's a good point. But their next two games are not easy. They go to Pittsburgh next Sunday night, and then they face the Lions. They could be 2-4.
Yeah, and for a team that already has had issues stopping the run.
Yeah, I mean, like they could easily lose the next. I think they'd be underdogs in both the next two games. A small underdog to the Steelers, probably, and then I think they'll be a home underdog to the Lions without Micah Parsons.
Yep.
They could be 2-4. This division feels like we're headed for 9 or 10 wins, and that's all you need to win the NFC this year. Scott and King of Prussia's up. Hey, Scott.
Scott.
Greetings. All right, first of all, real quick on Barkley. We'd all love to give him the ball and let him run 50 times a game. However, I just want you guys to think about him as a car, all right? The car that already has miles on it. It's a car it's a used car. It's a great car. It's like the best car ever we've ever had. But it's a used car, so you need to use it wisely. Mm. You need to make sure that you're taking care of it and that you're changing the oil and doing everything you can to keep it up. And part of that is managing his workload. Now, in order to do that, you need to be winning. I understand what the coach was talking about with that. But to everybody who just wants to give him the ball and let him go, give it up. Because it's silly. I mean, use your common sense. All right?
Scott, I agree. And I like the car analogy. I know these guys are probably shaking their head over here. I like the car analogy. This is a car with miles on it.
I mean, that's a good analogy, Scott. But if I buy a Ferrari, even if it's a used Ferrari, I'm driving the hell out of that Ferrari because it's a Ferrari.
All right.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And next I'm going to talk about the Ferrari. Okay? Huff is your Ferrari. All right? You went out, you bought a Ferrari. Now, just listen to me for a second. What I don't understand, and Hugh, you said it the other day and you confirmed it today, I do have a problem with Coach Fangio. He is not using him correctly. Can you imagine if you asked, say, Trey Turner to go up and bat left-handed, what he would look like? Or if you asked a pitcher who's right-handed to throw left-handed?
Mm-hmm.
You're asking him to go on the opposite side that he's had success in the NFL. Everything is different body-wise. You know this. This is your expertise. Your explosiveness. It's most of it comes power from one side. Everything is different when you're coming from the opposite side. I just don't understand who's so good on the Eagles right now that he can't be on the right side.
That's a fair point. They don't have any guys here that are locked in and like that's their spot. Yeah, none.
I mean, there's nobody. I'm sorry, I don't see anybody on the opposite side that's so good that you can't use this kid correctly. Let's put him on the correct side.
And to be fair, he's rushed from both sides because last year I remember getting a sack on Mailata. He got a sack on Mailata over there, so he can play on both sides. I just look at it like this: do what you have to do to help him be successful.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, when I hear what you're saying to me, I that points right at the coach, and I agree with you. I kind of understand why I got mad with that caller. It's like, is the coach doing, as a former coach, You want to be doing everything you can possibly be doing to help your athletes to get better. Mm-hmm. Always.
Definitely.
Always. At every position. That's your job. All right. And in every situation, whether you're winning, whether you're losing, it doesn't matter. And if that's not happening, that's a problem.
It's a big problem for them. And it's one they have to rectify here soon.
Well, how about
question.
This? How about this? Hey, how about we reach out to Hugh Douglas? Phillies do a good job of reaching out to their former greats if they can help somebody on the field. You're telling me that Hugh Douglas can't help this kid?
No,
I think he can.
I mean, come on.
I think we've got something here. There we go.
I what is going on here?
No, Hugh's plant-based now. We don't want him touching these things.
He's not the guy that he used to be.
I have an idea. Scott, good phone call. I think this is a new thing we should do, where WIP advises the Eagles on certain things. So here,
that dog is not going
to help. No, it starts on now. Ready? Hugh advises the Eagles on how to best use Bryce Huff. I'll advise them on the usage for Saquon Barkley. Everyone gets to pick something.
I can see everybody being happy about that fact. Hey, yeah, Joe and Hugh in here telling people what to do with their jobs. Yeah, that dog ain't gonna hunt.
Sirianni gets on the press conference after the game. Why'd you only use Saquon 15 times in the game? Well, Midday Show said it.
Yeah, they said we shouldn't have did this. Yeah. Gotcha.
I don't even know if they'd let him out of that press conference. That might be the end if they did that. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's grab Cowboy Jim quickly. Your team won last night, but it looked like crap. What's up, Jim?
A win is a win.
Jim, I mean, you and I both know this. You had two homecoming games a year the last few years. It was the Giants. You boosted those stats every year against
Calm
the Giants,
down.
And now
it's down,
a, it was a slog, Jim.
Calm down, mm-hmm. Joe. They had a day off on Monday.
Okay.
They had a practice on Tuesday. They had a travel day on Wednesday. Okay, so you're telling me now teams only need one day to practice for a week? They go to a hostile territory. They gave up 26 yards rushing. So, yeah, I think their rush defense was a little bit better. Wouldn't you say there, Joe?
But the Giants stink. I mean, like, you're missing that point. Last year.
Maybe they don't stink. Maybe they're getting better. You know, preseason's over. The first four games, the new preseason's over. Time. Here comes the season. Here we go.
You're talking yourself into this one, Jim. Jim, last year the Cowboys beat the Giants by a score of 89-17 in the two games. Last night it was
well
a one-score game.
I'm well aware of it. It's a win. We got out of New York. We only had one day of practice, travel day. So give us a break.
Come on now. We're done. You know what that is? That's the voice of a fan of an 8-9 football team. That's what Jim is. He feels it. He doesn't want to say it. Yeah,
the reality.
Yeah, it's hitting home. So Hugh, I know you haven't seen this yet because I don't think you're on top of your email kind of guy.
No, I'm definitely not.
He was getting aired out today, man.
So I don't know what came from this, but there was an email from HR yesterday, and we. There's a chance it might have been about you, okay?
Wait a minute. What'd I do? Well,
you know how we've talked about the lavender smell and Kyle doesn't like the lavender and okay.
Hate the lavender.
So everyone knows that Hugh's a lavender guy. So we got this email yesterday. This is with the whole company. And I just thought I'd read it and then, you know, we decide if this is you or not, okay? Greetings. And I'm making light of this. It's not reading anything that's super big deal. I think this is kind of funny. I want to remind everyone to be mindful of the use of fragrances in the workplace. Some of our colleagues have sensitivities to certain scents, which could trigger serious respiratory reactions. To ensure a comfortable and healthy environment for everyone, we ask you to avoid wearing or applying fragrances such as cologne, aftershave, perfume, deodorant, hair lotion, hairspray. Thank you for your cooperation and understanding. Now, do you think this was about you and your lavender use?
I don't know, dog. I've never heard, like if it is, please somebody let me know.
Well, they sent you an email, Hugh.
Well, I didn't see it. Until.
That's why I read it on the air for everyone here.
That's interesting. But I'm trying to think because I've been here for about a year. So I'm assuming it can't be on this side of the building.
I think it wasn't you. I mean, Kyle might have a different feel on this.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm not a fan of the lavender.
I hadn't worn it in a while.
No, I didn't notice. Yeah, I didn't notice it. Yesterday.
I don't think it was you. So. I mean, who knows what it was? Maybe someone sprayed cologne or perfume.
Yeah, and like, you know, where we're sitting, we're sort of secluded.
I'm not around that many folks.
Yeah. Like, I'm not smelling anything in here, obviously.
I saw the email yesterday. I was like,
you thought about me?
I said, is this the lavender?
No, and when you said it, I'm thinking, like, damn, is it me? I'm like, but who am I around? Like, because I'm like, it don't make sense because that would have been an email that would have been sent, like, almost a year ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And maybe directly to you.
Yeah, it might be like, yo, Hugh, you're wearing
too much cologne. Instead of the whole company, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, no, like, no, that might not be me. That might be somebody on the other side. And lately, I've been noticing, but then again, it might be, because lately I've been noticing we have a lot of coworkers that I've never seen before. Like,
the more food that gets put out, the more they appear.
I mean, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Never seen them, never smelled them.
Yeah.
So it's like, it might be something like that, but.
I think you're in the clear for this one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not going to stop wearing my oils now. I'm going to wear the oils now.
Okay, so he's just downright refusing.
Yeah. I can't do that unless we, you know, you want me to work from home. I'm going to smell
good.
Here's
what we're going to do. We'll just delete that email and move on. Okay, so, you know what it's time for now? It's time for a same game parlay. We hit it week one. Not as much success the last 2 weeks. Now, we're going to do something a little different today for our FanDuel parlay. This week, the props aren't up for the Eagles game. I think it's a lot of uncertainty on who's going to play, right? They can't set the lines on AJ and Devontae and Saquon if they don't know who's actually in the game. So they're not giving us the lines right now. We'll see if they pop up. I'm sure they will close for the game time. So we thought today we would go kind of across the NFL and put together a parlay using, let's say, some games, maybe over-unders, spreads, and maybe even a touchdown prop. So, Hugh, I know you had your eye on that Bills and Ravens Sunday night football game.
Yeah, I'm taking the points. Buffalo's been balling lately, man. I like – we talked about Josh Allen a lot, and I like what he's been doing, but it hasn't just been him. It's been that running game. The running game has been beneficial for me in my fantasy football. So, yeah, I'm taking Buffalo plus a point.
All right, so Buffalo plus 2.5 is Hugh's leg of our parlay this week. I'm going to go with the Caleb Williams breakout game. I'm going to take the Bears at home -3 over the Rams.
Breakout game.
It's his breakout game. This is the week. The Rams' defense has been pretty bad, and I think the Rams, like, once you have a big comeback like that, I think it's hard to get back up the next week. There was like a 99% chance they were going to lose, and they won that game. I think Caleb Williams gets him this week. He has himself a big game. Bears -3 at home over the Los Angeles Rams. Kyle, what do you got?
So I'm going to go with the game that I might be most excited to watch this entire weekend, and it feels weird to say about a Commanders-Cardinals game.
It's a fun one.
But I could see a lot of fireworks in that game. The over-under is 50.5. I'm taking the over, baby.
I could see it being a 27-24 game.
Yeah.
That goes right over the number.
Daniels, Murray, can put up a lot of points, man.
Daniels hasn't punted in 2 weeks.
Nope.
And Kyler's off to a good start, and the Commanders' defense is not very good. That's a fun one. And then we got a submission from our guy Rod Lakin, our brand manager.
Who can't be happy with us today, by the way.
Probably not. So I'll make him happy by helping him with the parlay here. He was throwing out the idea. He thinks it's a week for Travis Kelce to score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Travis has been getting beat up by everyone. He's out of shape. He's distracted.
He's out of shape.
Well, that's what people are saying. He looks out of shape.
Oh, I don't think. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, those takes are out there. He's out of shape. He's not focused, right? Because he's busy.
Oh, Taylor Swift.
Hanging out with
Taylor. Podcasts, commercials, whatever he's doing.
He's overexposed.
He's overexposed. So this is the week he gets back on track. He quiets the haters. Plus 180 on a touchdown. So if you add it together, Bears -3. Over in the Washington-Arizona game. Bills plus the 2.5. And a Kelce anytime touchdown. That's a 19-1 parlay over on FanDuel. That sounds like
a fun
one.
Though.
All right, let's put that one in. A 19-1 on FanDuel. Let's end with Joe in the Northeast, who wanted to give us a take on the Phil's roster. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe. UA Donat.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
man.
Joe.
Just a couple of PSA announcements for Phillies fans. Monday, Oxford Valley Mall at Dynasty Sports, 6 o'clock. Autograph session at Mundo Sosa, Cal Stevenson.
Oh, that's a fun. Yeah. Are you going, right. Joe? You got to go.
Yeah. And then on Friday, Johan Rojas and Estevez, and that would be the same place.
Cool.
6 o'clock for them. You know.
So when is the Joe from the Northeast autograph signing? When are you signing autographs?
No. You know, here's what it is. This I heard them saying that Thompson's saying they'll probably go with 12 pitchers and 14 position players. That's a waste. I wanted to see Stevenson, added to that roster. But here's what it is: they got 10 relievers right now. Okay, as I was telling Kyle, you got Taquan, you got Allard, and you got Gilbert. You want to see any of those three in the postseason?
No.
No, okay. So that's what I'm saying. So you don't use any of those three. So now you're down to 7 relievers. And I would put Ranger in to start out in the bullpen.
Well, who's starting game 4 then?
Okay, here's what it is, Joe. If you have
quality starts from the first three guys.
You want to go bullpen game four?
No, if you have quality starts from your top three pitchers, okay, you don't need Ranger, and you're going to your late inning guy.
Right,
okay?
So they're the rest. So, Joe, we'll continue this next week. Joe wants to put Ranger in the bullpen. He's got a strong take on a Friday.
Yeah, he's Cal Stevenson's promoter
to end the week. Well, literally. I mean, I'm going to the Joe in the Northeast. I'm going to his autograph session.